Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Rock Off here, and today's podcast episode is with Emily McCarthy, where we talk about team assessment, Rucking World Championship, and the multiple divisions for both of those events. This is Women's History Month 2020. This year, team assessment and Rucking World Championship are both going to have multiple divisions. There's an open division for team assessment. There's also a women's division. With Rucking World Championship, there's a two-person team division, there's a male division, and a female division. So we get into the reasons behind these multiple divisions, what Gorok is hoping to achieve by having them, and the reasons behind all that. Emily also tells some pretty fun stories, so I hope you enjoy that aspect of this as well. Before we get into the episode, I want to take a quick couple minutes to check in and just say I hope you're doing okay out there with COVID-19. It's pretty crazy out here. I live just outside of Seattle. And at least right now, schools are shut down for 6 weeks. Restaurants are all completely closed, as are bars. You can do takeout, but that's it. And life has definitely changed since the last episode that I released a week ago. With all that uncertainty out there, I just wanted to check in and just say I hope that you're doing okay. Hope you're staying safe. It's been interesting to watch all the event spaces change with COVID-19. We've seen a lot of events canceled. I know personally, last weekend there was supposed to be a Gorok Tough and a Light out here in Seattle. Both of those were canceled. Gorok's moving some of their Star Course events to virtual events, which is a pretty cool decision. It's still the exact same event with the exact same time frame, except that teams will be emailed the hit list that they have to hit the Friday of their event. And then starting anytime after the start point, they can begin probably at one of the hit list locations. That would make the most sense. But then they can traverse the event as they see fit. And there isn't that whole group start and group finish. If you're taking part in one of the Star Course events in Oklahoma City, San Antonio, or Richmond, I think it'd be really cool if you reached out after the event. You can hit me up, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at alldayrockoff.com. And I'd love to hear how that worked out for you. There won't be any cadre out there for it, but I think it's a really cool way to allow you to still do this event with your small team without actually having to cancel it. A lot going on in the world right now, and you're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 145. Thank you so much for the support. Truly appreciated. One final announcement before we get into the episode. Gorok is having a huge sale right now because they're moving their warehouse from their current distribution center back to Florida. So if you've been in the market for something from Gorok, I'd check out their website and really hit it up a couple times a day. I've seen Slick GR3s go through. I've seen some Heritage GR1s go through. I think even a couple shooter GR1s, a lot of low quantity items are popping up and then I'll see them disappear within a couple hours. So if there's something you want, it might be worth checking a couple times a day because I know they're trying to move a lot of those low quantity SKUs so that they don't have to ship them back down to Jacksonville. Just wanted to give you the heads up there. Definitely some good deals. And then of course, here is the interview with Emily. It'll be interesting to see where we're at with all of this in 30 years. And hopefully we'll be celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Rucking World Championship.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes. That would be awesome. I was really excited to see, you know, that come out because selection always kind of felt like the top level of the challenge level events. And now we've got team assessment kind of coming in as well. And so I'll be excited to talk about that in a second. But then the Star Course, there's all the 50-mile events everywhere, and now we have this kind of top-level Star Course event, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think we'll see a different type of rucker come out of it. And I actually think it's great for women. You know, it's going to, you know, women just keep getting faster as they get older, you know, in terms of the running trends. So it's going to be really interesting to see overall, you know, people that are there. But I'm also curious to see, like, from a female perspective, because this is something that I would want to do. And selection's not, you know, something. So,
Rock and Roll Championship. I mean, that could be a lot of fun.
Mm. Yeah, you probably would be good at it. Have you been rocking any longer distances?
I have. I actually, my buddy and I did the Star Course out in Seattle. We'd signed up for the 10K or the 5K, 10K, 15K series. And we tried to get as many of them done within the 3.5 hours as we could.
Really? Good.
We completed the 15K in about 1 hour 40, maybe. And then we completed the 10K. And then that one, we finished in time, but we only had about 10 minutes. And so we didn't go out on the 5K because there's no way we could have finished that in time. But we ended up doing
awesome.
Just under 18 miles in, I guess, the 3.5 hours.
That's really cool. Did you get patched for both?
We did. Yeah. Yeah. It was, nice. It was awesome. I explained what our plan was. I talked to the cadre and he explained what needed to happen. He's like, you're going to get the waypoints at the start of each event. So we got our 15K waypoints with the entire 15K event. We got back and then he gave us the 10K sheet and then we got the 10K. So we had to do all that. And then we had to go and do those. And we came back and then the plan was to do the 5K, but we didn't have enough time.
I love it. You basically like did an HTL of the Star Course Sprint Series. That's really fun.
I'm hoping, yeah, I can find maybe a flatter city to try it in. There was just so much elevation in Seattle.
Yeah.
I think we did like 1,700 feet of elevation gain over the course of it.
Oh my gosh.
And so that definitely put a number on the legs. So if I could find a flatter city, maybe I would do a little bit better there. I could actually get all three patches in one go. But it was fun.
I think you could. Oh, that's super fun. I know what you're talking about because I did the 26.2 in San Francisco and it was a lot of hills.
Oh yeah.
But we didn't do it very fast.
there were a lot of people out there talking about how the, you know, the 5K, 10K, 15K series is so easy and why should we sign up for an event at this distance? And I mean, I kind of put the flip on it because with most GORC events, if you finish it and you say that this was easy, then you didn't put enough effort into it. Like if you finish a tough and you're like, I'm feeling great, that was super easy. Well, maybe you should have carried a little bit more, you know, maybe you should have been on the log or grabbed an extra coupon or something like that. And so I was looking at this event, I was thinking, I'm sure there's a way to make this harder. Maybe try and get more than one done and see what happens.
I hear you. I it's the same thing with the Star Course too. It's like, you probably should have moved faster. It's a very different thing. Like when we were in Normandy for the 50, I mean, we were doing like kind of a 13-minute mile pace, which is, it was fast for me. Like I was just having a hard time keeping the team together. So totally different story. And San Francisco, I mean, it was half the distance, but we did it in the same amount of time and it was so easy and fun. You know, we just kind of enjoyed the sights, stopped in and got tacos, and it was a different, you know, vibe completely. But yeah, you're right. You can put into it what you want.
Yeah, it's just like more of a traditional race than a light, the tough, the heavy.
Did you do the Seattle 50?
I did the first Seattle 50. Last year's Seattle 50 was on my wife's birthday. And so I did not do that one, but I'm tentatively planning on doing it again this year. I've got a team that I'm supposed to be on and I think we're going to have a ton of fun and we'll just got to make sure everyone else is in it too. And I'd love to do another 50. I think that's just such a fun event.
Yeah, I'd agree. But how close is the Seattle one to the Wrecking World Championships? Is it a couple months apart?
Yeah, so Seattle's at the end of September and then Wrecking World Championships is 10th of November.
Kind of a perfect tune-up.
Yeah. If I wanted to go out there for Wrecking World Championship, it would be. I've been talking to some people who are registered for that event and, you know, they're putting in a lot of time and effort into it. And so I'm really excited to see how it turns out because I think it's going to be very competitive. I think we're going to see some exciting stuff that, you know, that we haven't seen before.
So you're not currently signed up for that. You're just kind of considering it.
Yeah. Not currently signed up. Anything that involves travel with the kids and I usually have to, have to tread a little more carefully with that and plan a little bit better. So we'll see where it ends up. I mean, even if I didn't do the event, it'd be fun to go out there and shoot some video and hang out and, you know, congratulate everyone as they come in, because it's going to be a big event and it's going to be an important event for a lot of people who do it. So it'd be cool to just be there.
Yep. I know, I've got it on my calendar. I don't know if I'm going to do it yet, but it's definitely something that I'm interested in. So kind of TBD as well. Still some time to decide.
So if you're going to register for it, would you go in at the team division or would you go in at the women's division?
Yeah, that's a good question. Gosh. I don't even know. I mean, I don't have a, I mean, if I had a partner come up to me, someone say, I want to do this, I would do it with them. Like that would be an easy decision. But since I don't have anyone coming up to me yet, I probably do the female open. I really love the setup of that, because that's, you know, I actually had to do a star course in my training. And that was like, of all the things that we had to do and learn and things like that, was my favorite. And so, and it was funny because maybe you've heard me say this before, but I, you know, you take like this land nav course and this is the culmination, you know, the star course at the end. And, you know, you've got your ruck with your supplies. We had to wear fatigues. I mean, it was the whole shebang, right? You know, taught by like military contractors. And, you know, we're at Camp Perry and it's, you know, just tons of acreage of just wooded area in, you know, Virginia. And they kind of watch you in the course to see like what your capabilities are, and then they assign you the lanes, you know, your routes kind of according to ability. And there was this big thing about boy lanes and girl lanes, and I was like, you know, they were like, we're not giving you, Emily gets a boy lane, right? And I was like really glad about that, because it's just like, you know, it was just kind of a status thing. And so you start like at the crack of dawn, and you know, it goes all day, and the whole time you're just by yourself in the woods, and the only time you see someone is like an instructor at one of these points. And this is just going to be what the Rucking World Championship is going to be like, by the way. So you know, so you get to the point, they give you your next lat long. So you have to get your compass out and get your map and, you know, do your little, you know, exercise and go. And so this whole time I'm doing it, and I, you know, Jason kind of had just gone through something like this not too long before. So he told me like, hey, if it looks like you can cut through a draw and you think you're going to cut off time, don't do it. Always go around, because you'll just get bogged down, like literally in the bog. So I remember but you can't handrail, you know, the streets, because that's, you'll get kicked out. So you have to be careful about how you go around things. So as long as you're kind of, you know, not staying on like a highway or something for a long time, you're good. But and that, there wasn't a lot of like roads where we were anyway, but so it wasn't hard to avoid them. So I remember like keeping that in mind, and it was like kind of a hot summer day, and I started just running, you know. I was like, I want to go do this fast. I want to see how fast I can do this. I had no idea, you know, I didn't see anyone else out there. And I got back and the instructor was like, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, here are my points. And he was like shocked. He was, I didn't think I would have been done. He was like, you're the first one back. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I was just like, great. So I'm sitting in the back of this truck. And like, you know, 30, 45 minutes later, some of the first men start to come in. And these are all like former SS guys, Navy SEALs, you know, Marine guys, you know, Marines. And they were all like, oh, did you drop out, Emily? That's like their first assumption. And I was like, no, I'm done. And they were just like, no one could believe it. It was like probably one of the best days of my life, you know, just like, when you don't even know that you're going to be good at something, and then you are, and it's like, yay, this is fun. And then no one believes you, but then the instructors are there. It was a great moment. So
that's amazing.
It was really fun. So I'd love to, so I'd like to do something like that. But again, you know, now in life, I have kids, and if Jason travels, it's harder for me to travel. So I have to figure out like what the deal is, but I'm not getting any younger. So maybe I need to do it sooner than later.
So you mentioned that there were boy lanes and girl lanes. Did the lanes have different number of points or the different distances? Like, what was the separation there?
I thought that was interesting too, right? And at the time, I didn't get offended or anything, but I definitely didn't want to have a girl lane, because that means it's shorter. You still have the same amount of points, but it's a shorter, easier lane. So the terrain is easier. The distance between the points is shorter. And, I remember I didn't actually, going back, I didn't get the most difficult lane. There was one lane that they gave to the friend of mine. He was Army. Just an Army, just awesome dude. Just really super fit, great guy. And they gave him the hard one because they were like, we know you could do it. And what was wrong with that lane is that it just had like a lot of mud, like a lot of just terrain difficulty. We're not talking huge mountains or anything, but it was like marshes and stuff. So he had to, they said, like, they basically were like, no one had a more difficult lane than you than this guy did. So, and he's one of my buddies, so it was cool.
That's interesting. That makes sense that they could scale the course in difficulty by just changing the points and those terrain features, and then kind of moving that over to the Rucking World Championship. I mean, there's a men's open, there's a women's open. Are the points going to be the same for both events? I know there's a weight difference. I mean, it seems like it's going to be the same style event for both. It's not like one men are going to go X number of miles and women are going to go Y.
No, you're right. It's the same for both. It's the only difference is the weight requirement. This one was agency training. It was basically like everyone got their own individual lane because you have you're talking about 100 and, a little over 100 people, but not everyone's doing it at the same time, so they had the space and they had the manpower to create these individual lanes or, to have them. And I think probably there's not everyone got their own lane. There were probably 10 people that got the same lane, right? But they had, I think at least, 10, maybe more lanes. I don't know the exact number, but I know that there were at least, there were multiple unique lanes. It's almost like a beginner, an intermediate, and an advanced sort of lane, because they don't want to probably be out there forever. There's a funny story. This girl that was in my training course, God bless her. Oh my gosh. She was really anxious about having to pee in the woods. Like she had never done it. She had never done anything like this. So days prior to our final exercise, she stopped drinking water. And it's a hot day, summer in Virginia, and she passed out on the course somewhere. And I just remember being like, I think this should just DQ you for this job. just from a good sense.
Sort of, yeah.
Good decision making, but they were like, we won't put her anywhere dangerous. Like we're going to send you or something like that. Just a funny, just like a funny thing, to think about, like, why would you, I can't even imagine, I'm a runner, but grew up as a runner. So it's peeing in the woods. I have no problem with that sort of thing.
Yeah. Of all the ways to kind of mitigate that fear of peeing in the woods, I don't think stopping drinking water would be the one that I would go with.
Right?
That's a tough one. That is a, because if anything, you should be drinking more water in the lead up to these kind of events.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you got to hydrate. You can overhydrate, but the chances of you overhydrating are slim. That mm-hmm. doesn't happen too often. But I have seen runners overhydrate before, and it's bad. Hypertremia is not good. But it's rare. You're more likely to be dehydrated, and dehydration's really tough. It can sneak up on you super easily. I got actually dehydrated at the Normandy event. It got really hot at one portion and, it was toward the end of the 50 miles and I thought I was drinking. I mean, I was, but I needed electrolytes at that point. And I started, Jason said, I started like making a lot of grammatical mistakes in my speech. And so he was like, and slurring. And he was like, this is not like you. So he gave me some electrolytes and carried my ruck for a couple of miles. And then I kind of like bounced back, which was good. But he caught it. He caught it soon enough. Otherwise, I was going to pass out and not be able to finish.
Yeah, towards the end of my STAR course, I put too much electrolytes in my water bladder and it was too sweet. And so I started drinking less of it because I didn't like the taste. And then I think mile 57, I was starting to feel it because I was noticing I was drinking less water because I had messed up the proportions. And
you guys, that's right. You guys had the longer STAR course, right?
We did.
A little too long.
A little too long, over 60 miles, but we just got our money's worth.
Yeah, you did. Goodness.
So for the Rucking World Championship, I mean, traditional STAR courses, there's no divisions. It's teams and everyone goes out and does the event. For Rucking World Championship, this is the first year of that. There's a women's individual at distance. You know, the genders are called out. In team assessment this year, there's an open division and there's a women's division. And so I'm curious, kind of transitioning this over, you know, how are those decisions made to add that separation, and you know, kind of what was the process behind that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we don't get asked some of this very often, so it's really great to tell you. I think this is kind of the first time I'm talking to anyone outside of GoRuck headquarters about this, but it's something we've been toying with for a little bit now, and it's, you know, a little bit of this sort of dilemma of, we've got this brand that's all about being elite, you know, and elite special forces. And you've got this pinnacle event and selection that's really awesome and really hard. And most people don't even want to attempt it, sort of thing, like me. But then we've got this other side of our brand that's community centric and it's inclusive. And it's trying to get people to believe in themselves and to push beyond these barriers and find out what they're really made of, or remind themselves if they knew before and this life's gotten in the way, you know, ups and downs, and they've forgotten, or they, you know, it's like a wake up call of sorts in a cool way. So, you know, kind of looking at that and, you know, I remember Jason saying to me, like, how can we get more women to do selection? And he's like looking at me and he was realizing there's no way. I mean, 45 pounds dry in my ruck, it's like almost half my body weight, right? It's a percentage game. And so we just talked about that a lot. And we talked about how, you know, of all the females, the strong, badass females that have attempted selection, there's been one to complete it. And Paige Bowie, you know, back in the day. And I think, you know, I've heard sort of secondhand from her that she's like, you know, even she's like, I don't know if I, you know, even, you know, stuff gets harder as it goes along, that she's even like questioned that, right? But we know what she's capable of. We've seen her in action, but she did it early on and proved herself. And that's awesome. So we were just having these conversations about how do we make it like more in, you know, how do we get more females out there? And so, you know, selection is going to stay selection because that's what it is. And it's not, although I say that, but this year there's a pause on selection and there's kind of going to be a revamping of that as well. I don't see any movement on the weight requirements changing, but you know, the decision to come up with an open division and then a female only division was really, you know, ignited from this desire to have more inspiring women get out there and try it, you know, and have it not be a barrier, have there not be a barrier to entry because of the 45 pounds dry sort of thing. I mean, there's a lot of variables with selection. And as you saw this last one, I feel like really great candidates, really two strong female candidates in Jala Shaw and Fern Ryder. And, you know, they had just like fluke, unfortunate things kind of happen. You know, Fern gets kicked in the head, slurring her speech, not able to really move on. And Jala, you know, also had a health issue where she couldn't swallow water. After some point, she was could not keep water down. So for like reasons of keeping them healthy and, you know, and in good shape, they had to get med dropped. So that's unfortunate. But the female division is, you know, instead of 45 pounds dry, it's 20 pounds dry. So all of a sudden, you know, someone like myself, someone else who may be a little shorter or whatever their body type, right? They can start to kind of wrap their head around that and say like, that's possible. And if that just means like setting more people are setting goals to train and put themselves out there, find a teammate, work on those things to just toe the line. I view that as a success. And so far, that's what we've seen. We've seen that we launched it. We made it a very like low entry price and said, you know, we'll keep it there until we get 100. We're like, I need to go check it actually right now. I think we're at 100, if not there. And everything else is the same. It's just the weight requirement, the dry weight requirement that's different. So the PT test is the same. The phases will be the same, but I think some of the weight used in the phases, it's still kind of up for the debate how heavy that will get for the women, if it'll be the same or a percentage, you know, thing. So I think that's the only thing is like we're looking at the weight that's going to be used during team assessment.
And the events for the open and the women's division start at different times, right? So they're truly yes. going to be happening separately, same location, but it's not going to be like there's open contestants and women's contestants competing at the same event at the same time.
Correct. Yes. The women, as of now, I think I understand the women will be going first through the phases. You know, phase one, administrative, phase two, PT test, phase three, gateways, phase four, culminating exercise, and phase five is get patched. And so they will be staggered. The women will start before the men. And exactly when they'll, you know, the men will go, I'm not sure. But and because cadre are keeping some things kind of close hold right now, but yeah, that's the plan, is to have it be its own thing for them, for women to be participating in. And of course, with the open, I know women that are interested in participating in the open, alongside the men, just as it has been in the past. But I also know a lot of really awesome, really, you know, women I view as really strong, women in our community that they're interested in kind of doing the female division to show women, like, we know what we can do, right? It's not about like, I think this is kind of the conversation, right? It's, you know, we're and it's being had in the special forces, you know, communities as you see, you know, women graduating from courses and things like that. And it's so awesome, you know, and it's really great to see that. But I think there's also a side of it where women are saying, you know, we're okay with this being just different and being and excelling at this. It's about proving something to themselves and within their own kind of community. And I think there's something really, there's something great about that, to say we're confident enough that we don't care if it's a keyboard warrior's gonna, you know, gonna say, well, it wasn't the same or something like that. Like, I think this is part of something that I think women are talking about more and more these days, where it's kind of okay to do our own thing. And if you want to participate and you know, do the same, you know, as the men do, that option's open for you, and that's great. And the women will still support that, obviously, you know, because that's really great. But there's also, there's value in saying, we can still do something hard and be proud of the work we put into that, just amongst ourselves.
It's tough because this is such a, especially in this day and age, this is such a hot subject, I guess, you know.
True, yeah.
differences between men and women. And it's one of those things that gets a lot of, you know, light shown on it for whatever reason. And so I'm, you know, looking at the Olympics, you know, there's men's groups and there's women's groups. And I was doing a little bit of research before this. One of the few sports that people compete in, regardless of gender, is some of the equestrian sports. And so it's the sports that aren't as physical aspects aren't the limitations.
Right.
And so I think that the way GORUCK is going about this is really cool because, you know, women are allowed in the open division. You know, men are allowed in the open division. If you want to do the open division, that's there. That's still an option. However,
right.
Having the women's division is great because, and it's, again, it's tough to talk about this because I come at this from a man's standpoint. So I'm trying to find a way to think about it. But I mean, the way team assessment is set up is, you know, it, as a team, it pays to be a winner. And so people who win can get a longer break. And if you're looking at your skills, you know, your physical abilities, and then you're looking at the physical abilities of the other people taking part in the event, there's a chance that if there's a larger disparity between them, that you're going to get less breaks and you're going to be carrying the heavier objects. And for that to be, you know, level set in the women's division, I think that's going to be really exciting, and it'll get more people in there who are competitive, but, you know, want to be competitive against other women.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a large part of it. We've been doing this Badass Babes event, you know, since I think 2015. It was the all women's before, but we've, you know, renamed it Badass Babes. And something, you know, I think there's always a lot of apprehension for some women about, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, or that's not for me. But I've heard this a lot. That women that come to it thinking, the ones that say, oh, I wasn't sure about this, but they find that it's just very different in a very positive way. Like they found that there was space that maybe they wouldn't necessarily find in a co-ed event. And it wasn't like always just one better than the other. It's just that they are different. And you know, I remember Kadri Bellman stopping us when we first got started, like, admin's over for this tough event, and we got started, and not 5 minutes in, we had Stephanie McGrew and I think Carmela Pine. They said, guys, we're going to teach you how to, you know, when you're carrying a sandbag, how do you transfer it to someone else when it's time to basically, you know, change, you know, give someone a break. And so they demoed it. We all kind of, we said, Cadre, hang on, you know? So we all just like formed up a little, you know, teaching circle, and they demoed it. And then a couple people practiced it. And then we like, okay, Cadre, we're back in line, ready to go. Cadre Bellman's like jaw hit the ground. He was like, I've led a lot of events in my days, and never have I ever seen a group of, you know, participants this take it upon themselves to do this within the first beginning of the class. This is something that's like, you know, next level, like towards the end, once they've been beaten down, you know, to get along and teach each other. So it was really cooperative. There was another great moment towards the end. It was like kind of our last like big push. It's something we had to do. It was really cool. It was in Louisville, and there were all these, I don't know what they're called, but they're like almost like culverts, or like, you know, big like round cylinders that are, that you can walk through. And there were like, I mean, almost 100 of them lined up on this construction area. And he was basically like, okay, you've got to carry all these sandbags through these, you know, each one of these, and you know, and get it to the end. And this is your time hack. And the team leader came up with a plan. And I think there were a lot of, you know, I was kind of just listening to the side, but a lot of people were like, we don't think that's the best plan. And so they constructively, you know, kind of broke it down and then offered an alternative plan. And the team leader, you know, she probably could have gotten upset and been like, nope, we're doing it my way, doing this. But she actually thought about it and said, you know what, let's try this. I think you might be onto something. And so we gave the, you know, the basically the alternative plan a try and met the time hack. And it was all hunky dory. So it's really cool. Like it's a different sort of experience. And I think there's something to be said about that.
I love that you name dropped Stephanie and Carmela and then Paige before, because I've done podcast episodes with all three of them in the past. And so I can link those episodes in the show notes, but they've all been, you know, fabulous interviews. With Paige, we talked about her GoRuck selection finish, and then had great talks with Stephanie and Carmela as well. And I'm curious because, you know, they've all been strong proponents of these events, but I know on the flip side that there has been some, I don't know if I want to call it backlash, but you mentioned, you know, keyboard warriors. People are saying, why does this event exist? Why are there, you know, all these other divisions? But I'm excited that, you know, GoRuck's held strong and it's kept them around. And so, you know, kind of what's your thought process when those kind of messages comes through, and, you know, how do you usually address them when people start asking questions like that or bringing those things up?
Yeah. I mean, you know what, there's a lot, like you said, being discussed in this space right now. And, you know, without getting too into it, I think, you know, I think it's right now we're comfortable to say it's okay to have these female only events, because the right to choose is still there, right? The you know, the flip side, you know, that we've discussed internally, and, you know, maybe there's been a little bit of talk about it, but it's really a minority. It's about, you know, well, what if a guy wants to do the female division of team assessment, or what if a guy wants to do the Badass Babes events? And it's like, okay, I mean, it is a question to be asked, but I also, sometimes when people are trying to be inclusive, it's saying like, hey, we want this space to ourselves so we can feel comfortable, right? Like the females in team assessment, you know, you throw like, you know, a guy's team in there, and like you said, it changes the dynamic, you know, and I'm not sure that's what we were looking for. We have options for those already. You know, I just, what I think about is that we have many options for, like, you want to, there's plenty of events where it's there, you can do it with men, you know, that you can have men and female, male and female participants. And then, you know, same with the open division, same with selection. No one's changing anything there. It's go for it sort of thing. But, you know, last year we launched team assessment and we didn't get any women to show up. So in a lot of way, like, people tell you, right, what they want. This year, we're going to get female to show up for the, you know, the female division. And maybe, and like I said, I know that there's some training for the open. So maybe, you know, you've got to think, maybe because there's females training for the female division, maybe that's encouraging more women to train for the open. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is all like, you know, you can't just sometimes hope to skip to the end or something and hope that, you know, people will want to do, you know, be at a certain level. No, you kind of have to walk it through. And I think that's where we are on this, and saying like, why don't you just come out and, you know, see what it's like, you know, to be in an event like this. And I think we'll see, right? We'll see come June, like what happens, you know, like what goes on. And I know I've heard, you know, a lot of women express some sort of like, you know, well, I don't want to be up there and have people, you know, make fun of me and this and that, or, you know, whatever, you know, be on display. And I think that keeps a lot of people from trying, you know, keeps a lot of people from trying, because it's hard, you know, it's hard to get out there and put yourself out there. But that goes for anything, right? And it's really about, are you confident that in yourself, and also are you confident that, you know, your community and your people that support you will stand up and will support you when it, you know, when it matters. What I really love to see, and society, and then even in microcosms, you know, both in person and on even online, is that I like to think that like justice usually prevails. You know, people will, you know, people are smart, you know, like people are deeper than you sometimes assume, right? And there's more layers than you think. And so, you know, you think you know how someone's going to react to something, but then they say something and you're like, huh, wow, I'm impressed, right? That's great that they saw through, you know, whatever garbage it was, and so we're able to say, what you just said, it doesn't have, that's not true, or that doesn't make sense, or that's not really nice, you know, can you just stop talking, you know, sort of thing, you know what I mean? I think there's something, like, society does this, like, you know, sometimes we need more help than others, you know, it's not perfect, but it's helpful, and I think it does happen, and people will come out and say, you know, listen, this person's out there trying hard, you're not there. So maybe you need to just watch, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point that you brought up too, is that, you know, last year no women showed up for team assessment. And so just to for you to take a step back and look at that and say, you know, why did that happen and what can we do to change that? I think that's really interesting. And I don't know, I can't speak for any other companies out there, but I mean, I think that shows a lot of self-awareness. You know, team assessment's still very new. Last year was the first year, and it's ever happened. You know, this is the second year. Mm-hmm. Now there's divisions. We'll see how that goes. And I think that's you know, a very agile way of doing things to, you know, make some changes from year to year and figure out what works and realizing that it's still a brand new event.
This is all an experiment of sorts, you know, and when you get feedback that says nobody, you know, this type of person did not show up, and you have to go back to the drawing board a little bit and say, maybe we're not offering the right thing. You know, like the market gives you the answers, you know, people give you answers, whether it's, you know, by not showing up or by, you know, giving you direct feedback or, you know, so it's worth a try, right? I mean,
yeah.
What if we just said like, oh, well, no women showed up. I guess they're just not tough or into it. I mean, is that really what we don't believe that, you know, it's like, no, let's see what happens if we change it. Well, we've got a ton of women signed up. You know, the next thing is going to be like, well, how many actually show up? Right. And again, I think things happen. I'm curious to see, like, but it's also, you know, it's not a bad thing to get people thinking about it, right? Even if they signed up and were training, like if they're fitter than they were, you know, a few months ago, and they've like had a little taste of this, and then they watch it and think, wow, I signed up. Like that kind of just creates a fire, you know, and this, it'll keep burning, and people, you know, people will figure out something to do with that in one way or the other. So I don't see the downside.
Are you still in the current role of I'm kind of advocating for women in rucking?
Yeah, like head of women's division. Yes, I am. This is something that I probably always will have. You know, that sometimes other things I take on because of whatever the needs of the business. I'm getting more into travel stuff, but it's also, I'm never going to stop being a woman. So I'm going to keep doing that. And, you know, it's really great because, you know, I've got like some longer term plans, for what I want to do in terms of, related to female travelers. And even, you know, now that we're doing more in the CrossFit space, you know, there's a lot of like really, you know, athletic and great female role models from that coming out. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But yes, I'm still in charge of that. But there's not like a really, you know how sometimes when there's not a great place on the org chart for it, you know, it's just kind of, I kind of float right now because, you know, GoRuck's primarily a masculine brand, and you've got a, you know, female we're still, you know, kind of working on female products and trying to figure that out and make them really something we're proud of and that, you know, women will want to use and wear in both, you know, travel or their everyday life or in events. So there's still a lot of work on that to be done. But it's a long-term play. So I'm, you know, whether it's events, product, travel, you know, way of life, you know, I think, yes, I will be in charge of the women's division until I find someone better, another woman that would be great at this. And I would, you know, be happy to kind of work alongside that person and, you know, wherever it takes me next. But I'm excited about it. I just think that, you know, you start something new, there's a lot of energy behind it. And then it's like, you know, reality hits and you're like, oh, well, this isn't going as fast as I like, but you know, we still have a lot of exciting things, you know, this team assessment for female division, the Wrecking World Championship, there's still a lot of, you know, it's not just about a product or a launch or talking about something. It's what I love about Go Ruck and our community is we actually do these things, right? We're actually like getting messy. We're getting in there. We're trying things out. But it's what you find out, you know, fast forward 5, 10, 15 years is that you're basically, you don't realize it, but you're doing important stuff, you know, at a very grassroots level. And it, you know, it has implications and it will inform you down the line for where you want to go. I view it as like a very long-term sort of, it's not like we don't have as many products as the men's or we've got it, you know, it's not like that. It's like, we're just going to slowly but surely kind of figure out by talking to women, working with women, creating events, you know, for and by women, product for and by women to actually, you know, coalesce and see like what shakes out. Like it's a lot of experimentation, you know, basically. And I think that's kind of keeps it from getting stale. And like you said, you know, you got it. We talk about being adaptable. Like this is exactly that. Let's adapt. Let's see what we can do to get more women, you know, and, you know, excited about these types of things.
And it's really exciting to see because, I mean, we're seeing changes in innovations every single year. And I just keep going back to just how, you know, new rucking is at this level. And I know that there have been organizations who have been putting on, you know, ruck events for years and years and years. You know, there's been the Baton March that's been going on since, mm-hmm, I think the late 80s.
Yeah.
And so these ruck events aren't brand new, but I think at this level, this kind of promotion, the amount of eyes that are on them now is greater than, you know, ever before. So it's just interesting to see how things just continue to evolve year over year, especially in relation to other sports, you know, that don't change as much, like running. You know, a lot of that innovation happened a lot, you know, maybe not innovation in training, but innovation in events and the structure happened long before I got into running. It's not like they just came out with a new distance or a new type of running event, whereas Go Ruck, mm-hmm, came out with the Star Course as a competitive event just this year with the World Championship Star Course. You know, that was just off, mm-hmm, a brand new event that came out 3 years ago. And then there's brand new distances for this year. I think that's one of those things that I sometimes personally forget, and I'm guessing other people do as well, is that you know, when you start comparing Rucking and Go Ruck's events against other sports that have been established for much, much longer, you know, of course there's going to be changes quicker and, mm-hmm, over time with Go Ruck's events, because these are things that, like you said, you're trying out and seeing how they do and innovating here and there and kind of seeing where they fall. Whereas a lot of the other sports have done that decades ago, potentially.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, it's like running's been at this for decades now. And I'm, you know, there was a lot of, you know, you look at the history of it, there was a lot of movement. I mean, there were women that weren't even allowed to race in, you know, certain races, right? They had to kind of hide, you know, or, you know, sneak in to marathons and things like that. And it's funny. And now you've got, like, you've got a lot of movement on the ultra side, I think, and that's interesting. But, you know, when you talk about events that have been going on for a long time, like Bataan and, you know, some other ones, their roots are very much in the military, right? I mean, rucking's no new thing in the military. It's very common. And if anything, we have to, you know, kind of get people to kind of throw out some of their old conceptions of it as being, you know, not fun, too heavy, sort of like, you know, they got hurt doing it because they were carrying 100 pounds on their back and it was miserable conditions. And talk about, you know, but from a civilian standpoint where your mom can do it, you know, and it's something that's more accessible and it's not about just lugging something that's, you know, way too heavy for you. It's about, you know, putting the right proportional weight and working up if you want to do that and getting, you know, something out of it from a fitness standpoint. So it's cool that now place things like Bataan, which would normally have been kind of more just like, you know, in one little group of people knowing about it. Like, I didn't know about that growing up. Did you?
I did not.
Bataan Death March? I never knew about that. So to know about it now and that, like, it's kind of like we just toss it around like, yeah, you know, the Bataan, you know, Death March, like that, we know what that means. You know, that's great. That's great for rucking. And indirectly, that's great for Go Ruck in our community because, you know, we're going to have a presence there this year. It's going to be a lot of, you know, you see a lot of GRTs out there. You see a lot of, you know, Go Ruck bags. And I know Bomber's going to be out there. And it's just a really cool thing that it's able to open up. It's not just for the military community, it's for other people. And I think ultimately, you know, people doing more things like that, you know, setting a goal, training for it, you know, being healthy, communing with other people on this path to remember something really important in our history. That's great. That's a great way to spend your time. It's a good life.
It is. It really is. And I totally agree. It's one of those things where, you know, a rising tide raises all ships, where the more people who, you know about Go Ruck and start searching for ruck events are going to stumble across Bataan. And the more publicity Bataan gets, people are going to start searching for rucking. And, you know, they'll obviously pop, you know, Go Ruck pops right up. So they'll bring, you know, more people that way. And just kind of as there's more presence, there's more talk, there's more, obviously I'm not on your analytics side or anything, but I'd be really interested to see how kind of the Go Ruck being at some of these CrossFit events has increased traffic related to those weekends to the website, because I'm sure people, you know, see that and that's the first time they've ever been exposed to rucking or to Go Ruck, and they start searching and then they land on your page. And it's just really interesting to see how that all comes full circle.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking about this the other day. I mean, CrossFit is just another community that is very, you know, we can relate to. They like to do, you know, work out and be, you know, a lot of boxes are kind of outside too, you know, like they like to do all these kind of seemingly like crazy things with other people. You know, there's this like healthy, you know, community piece to it that's really great. You know, that being said, it's still different. It's still, you know, a 45 an hour long class, you know, 5 days a week, 3 days a week, it's not the same as doing a tough event, right? You know, it's just like they're not the same, but there's, you know, you get the, you know, people rucking in a ruck club, and then maybe they work out together but they're CrossFit box, and then maybe they start to say, well, let's do an event together, things like that. You know, there's interconnected, and not everyone's going to follow that path or thing, but people come in at different areas. And like you said, you know, part of our strategy has always been like, we want to be the authority on rucking, right? Outside of the military, you know, Go Ruck is when people think about rucking, the next thing they think is like, go Ruck. And you know, it's happening, you know, it's a long play again, right? This is not something that we're, you know, trying to just figure out overnight or something like that. And I think it's, you know, a lot of these partnerships or, you know, getting into these other areas, it's just about awareness. It's really about offering people an alternative to running and exposing them to what we think is a great community of people who share common values of hard work and love for each other and supporting each other through tough times. Because, you know, going all this alone is really not the goal, right? It's about finding people that like to do things that you like to do and figuring out ways to spend time with them. And I think we see that at a lot of different levels, you know, from our Ruck clubs, being, you know, at the most local grassroots level, you know, things really, really great to see the leaders in the community that care about service projects and, you know, taking care, you know, supporting one another through some tough times, celebrating, you know, their wins and, you know, just spending time with each other. And like I said, on up where it's like, you know, going through different stages. Like this is all part of something bigger. We don't always know where it's going. You know, a lot of it, like I said, it's a lot of experimentation. It's a lot of, you know, go work from the get-go has kind of been a series of like accidents, experiments, you know, just natural, organic things happening. And I don't think that's at its core. That's not changing. We're still going about it and thinking about it in the same way. And you know, it's not always a perfect path, but it's one that we believe in.
Thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 145. You can get links to anything we talked about at the show notes, alldayruckoff.com/145. Emily, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. Truly appreciate it. Love having you on. And I hope everything's going well for you. If you enjoy the podcast and want to support it, you can always leave a review, Apple Podcasts or Facebook. Just search for All Day Ruck Off. There's also the online store, alldayruckoff.com/store. And we're still shipping orders. COVID-19 hasn't shut down the post office yet, fingers crossed. So still sending out a ton of stuff. So don't worry if you place an order. Finally, you can support through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayruckoff. And that is truly appreciated as well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Again, really hope you enjoyed it. If you're taking part in one of those three virtual Star Course events, please send me a message after the event telling me how it went. I'd love to hear from you. Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, @alldayruckoff.com. Or you can just use the contact page on the website. Stay safe out there. And as always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive. And thank you again for tuning in.